Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leonard. It's such a privilege being with you guys this morning. I'll try my best to stay on the stage. I'm usually a bit of a mover, less of a shaker, but more a mover. But I'll try my best. It's such a privilege to be back. It's actually our first time being back since we've relocated to Cape Town, and it's such a privilege just seeing so many new faces. It's actually scary how quickly the Lord builds His church, eh? And He builds with people. He doesn't necessarily just build with buildings, although it's a tool for a task, which Leonard referred to, but He uses people. And so you being here this morning, there's a purpose on why you are here. Maybe the Lord wants to use you as a living stone, which the Bible often refers to build you into a body so that the church may be built up. But that's not what I'm preaching about this morning. And so you guys have been meeting in this building for quite a while already, right? And so I said to Leonard, you know, when did you start meeting here? End of last year. And so 2 months later, I think it's so fitting just to slow down and pause for a moment and celebrate what the Lord is doing among us and amongst you. You know, because it's so easy to, okay, what's the next thing? I've got that personality, and I think Leonard is very similar, and some of you might be very similar too. It's like, what is the next thing now? You know, it's almost like you put a carrot in front of your own nose, and you keep running on this hamster wheel, and there's a lot of good in it, but often I think we just have to slow down, stop, let's look at what the Lord is doing before we just rush into the new and the next thing. That being said, it's not a time to be passive, but actually a time to lift our eyes, go, Lord, what are you doing? Because we want to be in step of you and with you. And so I wonder if we can perhaps just get to our feet quickly, just all of us. Before I jump into my sermon, I actually want us, and I know Leonard already asked, let's clap hands just as a sign of celebrating the Lord, but I actually want us to shout as loud as we can, just as a sign of, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just wait before you shout, but I've got such a gratefulness in my heart for what the Lord is doing and how He's building the church. Even in the prayer meeting, there's a call of being thankful for the Lord. And it's so easy to go into this next part of the sermon. Okay, what can we do? Give me something to do higher. But what if we just take a step back and let's just thank the Lord before we move on? Can we do that? I'm going to count to three and you can shout whatever you want to. Maybe Jesus, thank you, or I don't know what you want to shout, but just give God a thankful cry out of the depths of your heart. And I'm trusting that it will bless the Lord richly this morning. Can we do that? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Jesus! All right, thank you. Grab your seats before we... I actually want to get through this message this morning. This building really excites me. It's a time where we can just reflect. Paul was referring to all the different moves into different buildings. And I'm really excited about just celebrating what the Lord is doing amongst us. Not just in Bloemfontein, but across Josh Jen. You know, and you guys having your gathering next weekend. I'm really excited for you to hear what's happening across the board. So many potential church plants coming up. New buildings in other areas. And so across the board, the Lord is building His church. You know, and we get to be a part of it. And years ago, Paul and I actually drove around town, and I was driving around with some of you guys as well, just looking for venues all the time. You know, I think we've probably spent, I don't know how many thousands of rands of petrol, just driving around Bloom, looking for venues. And seeing this morning, for me, and I know for many of you, is an answer to prayer. It's an answer to prayer. The Lord is the one that's faithful to build His church, and He has started a good work in us, and He is the one that's faithful to complete it. And so one of the toughest moments for me, and I know, Helmut, you've been in ministry for much longer than I am, and Leonard, same, but for me, one of the toughest moments in my ministry career, or my ministry, what do you call it, period, is around buildings. Some of you might know the backstory, but when we just came to Bloom years ago, someone offered us a building, and when you plant a church, and someone offers you a building, you just say yes, you know? No questions asked, yes, I'll take it. Because venues are quite hard to find. And it ended up, it was actually quite a close friend to many of us. He ministered with us in many camps, and it ended up being quite a hectic scam. I actually told our leadership group, listen guys, we've got a venue. Praise God. We've got a venue. And everyone was so excited, and the next moment, in a period of about a year, it ended up being a complete lie, where there was no venue available for us. And it ended up many of us being disappointed. I remember I told my wife that evening when that just this whole bomb just exploded. So, I mean, there were tears and shouts and screams over the phone, and many of you were involved with that. I remember I said to you, Henri, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I think I went to bed at like 7 p.m. that night, right? I still do it today, but that was before kids. And so I went to bed at 7 p.m. and that next morning I was like, okay, well, I need to wake up and get going again. And that next morning, one of the other elders and pastors of another church phones me. I hear you're looking for a venue. I'm like, how do you know it? Because I didn't tell many people. And he phoned me, listen, we've got a venue for you available. That was Jim Fisher High School, where we met in until recently. And suddenly, coming from the lowest of lows, and the next morning, experiencing this massive high of, oh my goodness, the Lord is in control. I don't get to understand what's happening and why things are happening in life, but the Lord is the one building. The Lord is the one that is faithful in our lives. And so this is more significant to many of us than what you can imagine. And I know we're not building on buildings, but this does facilitate the life of the church in many ways. It will become a place, even going through power, through position of Helmut and Belinda, it's going to be a place where people can come and find healing, and it's going to be a time of equipping and sending as we really reach into this whole area. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to read a scripture in Philippians 1 verse 6 as I get going. Being confident of this, that He, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is faithful. He has started something not just in Josh, Jen, Bloemfontein, but He has started something in you. He has started something, a good work in you, and He is the one that's faithful. As you remain under Him, as you remain close to Him, He is the one that's faithful to complete the good work that He has set out for me and you. So He's faithful for us as a church, yes, but He's faithful to you as an individual this morning. And so the question I want to ask this morning, can I be satisfied as a Christian? Can I be satisfied as a Christian? Can I know that the word content is going around quite a bit. Should I be content as a Christian? You get what I'm asking? And I want to say yes and no. And I think some of you are like, whoa, what do you mean? Yes and no. Yes, surely we have to be content and satisfied because the Lord is the one that's satisfying us, right? But I want to show you something out of the life of Paul that he actually had a discontentment in many ways, a holy discontentment, not a fleshly, worldly discontentment, but actually a godly ambition. And so I want to talk about that this morning, as being contently discontent. That's quite a tongue twister, especially for an Afrikaans guy. Like, whoa, what does that even mean? Go write it down. You can think about it a bit later. But I'm going to show you in the Word this morning that the Lord is calling us for more. And so firstly, in one hand, on one side of the coin, we ought to be content in the Lord. We ought to be satisfied because He is the one that sustains us. He is the one that protects us, that provides for us. So on one side, we are secure in His love. When you give your life to the Lord, if you accept Him as your Lord and your Savior, you are now rooted in Him. Amen? You belong to Him. You are now a son and a daughter of Him. What a privilege it is to belong to Him. That He has bought us with a price. And His price, and that price was His life. And so even this morning, if you don't know the Lord intimately and in a real way, that He has paid the price for you to know Him. And so when we give our lives to Him, we are to be content in Him. We're secure in His love. Our identity is in Him. We don't have to strive anymore. We don't have to try and perform or put ourselves, you know, to putting your good face, your church face forward. We are secure in Him. We belong to Him. We don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to do things to find His approval. He has already accepted us just the way we are. Isn't that the good news? And I think we often get familiar with the power of the gospel. Yes, we want to work for the Lord, but firstly, our foundation is He is the one that bought us. And now we belong to Him. Our lives are not our own anymore. It's now rooted in Him. And so we ought to be content in Him. We ought to be satisfied completely in Him, not lacking anything. But then I look at Paul's life, and before I continue, I want to read the scripture in Philippians 4. And I know many of us have heard the scripture, but listen to the life of Paul. He says from verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Okay, content in what? Whatever the circumstances are, I'm going to be content. I know what it is to be in need. Who of you have been in need before? Okay, all of us, you don't have to raise your hand. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So Jesus is the one that's giving us strength. Whether I have a lot, whether I have little, whatever the circumstance is in my life, we can be content. That's a hard message, eh? Because it's difficult if we have needs and we are lacking in areas in our lives. It's difficult to find that contentment in the Lord. It goes on in 1 Timothy 6. Let's read it, verse 6 and 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Just keep that up there. We are taking nothing with when we go to heaven. Sorry to burst your bubble. I don't know about you, but often for me, I want to store up treasures in this world. And we should be faithful with our finances, and we should manage our household well physically. But it's so easy to tip over into storing up treasures in this world, where we are reminded by His word, we're taking nothing with. We came in with nothing, and we're going out with nothing. Everything that we have on top of that is His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His goodness. Things that we don't deserve. Even the very fact that we get to meet here this morning without persecution, things that we read about in other parts in the world, this is the Lord's hand and the Lord's grace and His mercy. And so what that does in my heart is I don't want to become entitled to anything. I want to have a heart of humility. Like everything I have is because of His grace. Everything I have is because of His goodness and His kindness. And I want to tell you this morning that entitlement will rob you of contentment. If you think you deserve anything more than what you've got, there's a discontentment, and it's called the flesh, that creeps in. And that you're not finding that satisfaction in the Lord. Finding our worth completely in Him. John 6, 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never thirsty. Jesus is the one that sustains us. He is the one that's looking out for His children. I mean, we do have a good Father. We do. And we are His children. What a privilege it is. And I know probably most of us have some sort of brokenness, some sort of broken background, but this is a good Father that we belong to. We serve Him, yes, but we belong to Him. We are rooted in Him. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. So you get the thread where I'm going with this, that we are completely content in Him. We are completely satisfied in Him. And even this morning, maybe you feel like there is a weariness about you. There's a sense of unfulfillment that you're carrying around. I believe that the Lord wants to settle that in you this morning. As you position your heart in Him, that He will be the one that satisfies you completely. You don't have to come to church trying to prove yourself. I know what it's like. Leonard being fairly new in this congregation, you want to show him how gifted you are, right? You want to show him, man, oh, this is who I am. But it's so easy that those things can become the flesh. Where it doesn't mean we should be passive. You get what I'm saying? But it means that we are satisfied and completely content in Jesus. But then I want to move on to the other side of the coin. Can you remember what that side is? Discontentment, which is quite a hard word. And even theologically, I had to just sit down. Can you be discontent as a Christian? Ooh, that is a hard one, because now you just said Jesus satisfies you and you should be content in Him. But now you're saying there might actually be space for being discontent. I want to tell you a quick story. It'll be a quick story. It's a story that I heard recently about a tribe somewhere in Asia. Asia is like one big place for me. I don't know which is what is where. So it just feels like everything that's not Europe is Asia, which is probably true, right? Anyway, and so there's a little tribe that you probably have never heard of. It's the Tartar tribe. Tartar tribe. Not the tartar sauce that you get at Ocean Baskets. It's a Tartar tribe. It's somewhere in Central Asia. And so they regularly went into battles, and they had many enemies that wanted to capture them and grab hold of who they are and all the resources that they possess. And part of all the battles, as they prepared for a battle or a war that they're going into, they will stand still, gather their own army, and they will call out a curse over the enemy. It's quite obvious many armies do that, and as they gather and they envision their own people, they, okay, let's curse them. We're going to slay them, and we're going to, you know, they call out all these curses over them as a sign of we're going to win you. We're going to destroy you. But what struck me about this Tartar tribe, they actually didn't call out curses saying, we command your swords to rust, or we command all of you to get sick and get a disease. We demand all of your armies to fall down and all the strategies that you have. We command all of you to die. They didn't call out those type of extreme or seemingly extreme curses. What they actually called out, and this is the way they curse them. In their minds, this is the worst thing that you can tell the enemy, is this. May you stay in one place forever. Yeah. And that struck me. Like, that is, for them, in their mind, the worst thing that they can curse the enemy with is, may you stay in one place forever. Knowing that if that happens, they'll stop moving. They'll stop advancing. They'll stop growing. They'll just become passive. They'll just kind of fade away, and there'll actually be no battle anymore. And so the worst thing for them that they could call out is, may you stay in the same place forever. And I think there are similarities in the enemy's, the devil's strategy for us. May you just stay comfortable in the same place where you are forever. And you'll kind of just end up destroying yourself and your own calling and your own path that which the Lord has planned for you. You'll drift into it. And I want to ask us this morning, is it possible that some of us might be stuck in the same place? Where you're not moving forward. You're not growing. You're not moving into what the Lord has for us. And so to get back to my point, looking at Paul's life, I want to tell you something in Philippians 3, verse 13. Paul is quite an extreme guy. I know this guy, my brother Paul now, is also an extreme guy. But this guy, this Paul, is very extreme in his way of living. And so on one side, he's saying, I've learned to be content in everything.
And then a little while later, he says this, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Straining toward what is ahead. And so you pick up this, man, there's more for us type heart in Paul. You pick up this holy discontentment, knowing that there surely there's more. I strain forward because the Lord has a plan for us. There's more for us. I cannot stay in the same place forever. There's more for us. And that's often the challenge with theology and just truth, is there's a tension. On one side, you're telling me, be satisfied in the Lord, and the other side, you're saying, but don't be too satisfied, because there's more. There is more. And I don't know about you, but often I get comfortable, and there's no motivation to really move forward. But actually, the Lord wants us to move forward. Is there still an urgency in your heart for the very thing of the kingdom? Is there an urgency to build this kingdom? Is there an urgency for the gospel? Knowing that there are people that's on the wrong side of the Lord as we speak. And that creates an urgency in our hearts. Knowing that there's more people to be reached. There's more churches to be planted. There's more areas to grab hold of. There's more leaders to disciple. There's more leaders to be raised up. There's more kids to disciple. You get what I'm saying? There's more coffees to be made. And even this morning, I had a coffee. And it's part of church in many ways. And someone had to serve me that. There's more people that's putting up their hands and saying, I want to serve. I want to give myself to the very thing, which is the church. And so I want to say this morning that it's not being dissatisfied in your relationship with Jesus. It's actually realizing that there's more. So on one side, you are content in your position, but discontent in the mission. Knowing that there's work to be done. There's a mission. We are part of His mission. It's His ministry. It's not Leonard's ministry. It's not Andrew Selly's ministry. It's His ministry, which we rightfully all get to be a part of, and we are to extend His ministry until He comes back for His church. And then He will come as a judge. And He will judge the living and the dead. And He will decide on which side of Him you are. But until that day, we get to partake and participate in His mission, His ministry. And so there's work to be done. Who of you thought ministry and church is about work? It very much is. I'm thinking of Helmut and Belinda. We got to know them when we're still here, and man, they love the Lord. They work hard. I mean, you were probably the one that challenged me the most with how hard you work. You've challenged me so much just on how you love people. And Leonard, knowing Leonard from the Wellington days, man, he doesn't sit still, eh? I don't know why Karmaya is laughing so hard, but Leonard is not someone that sits still. He'll keep you on your toes. He's always taking initiative. He's a visionary. It's very much the gift that God has given him. He's a church builder. And so he's always moving forward. And Paul, and I can highlight so many of the elders on his team, but Paul is just everywhere. You know, whatever meeting there, Paul's there. You know, and he's involved in every aspect of the church life. But I want to tell us this morning, having a venue, having our own building, it's not just up to the full-time elders. It's not just up to the eldership team. It's not just up to the deacon team. And although the practicalities might look different into the season ahead, as you'll come in and the chairs will be packed in many ways, and you know the urn is there and the coffee machine is there, we don't have exam tables to... Dennis, you remember those days? And so in many ways, all the practicalities are going to run much smoother, and some of the leaders and elders might work behind the scenes much more, but this does not mean we can just slip into a Sunday and slip out. This does not mean we can just come and get my food for the week and then go and do my own thing. God has placed you into a family where you belong, and if you belong properly, you get to contribute in His church. So it's not just up to them. All of us have a part to play. If you are here and the Lord has called you, if the Lord has saved you, you have a part to play. You have a calling to walk out. You have a gift to contribute. You've got a responsibility to stay close to Him and to make disciples. That's what we call the priesthood of believers. It's a big word for saying each one of us have a part to play. And I did want to mention this, that I've heard it before. As soon as the church gets a building, it's so easy where people can just become comfortable. It's so easy where you can just slip in and get comfortable. But I'm praying and I'm trusting that even this morning that the Lord will stir something of a hunger for more in your heart. And yes, there will be less practicalities in many ways. But the mission remains the same. To make disciples of nations, to make disciples of this town of Bloemfontein, to teach them to obey everything Jesus has taught us, to baptize them. I think we've got a baptism pool up here, eh? Have you guys used it before? We should totally get it going, you know? Well, we can use pools or whatever, it doesn't matter. But the point that I want to make is we need to get people baptized. It should be part of our daily rhythm. I shouldn't have said that. Het moet deel wees van ons daaglikse routine. It should be normal to us. People who are devoted to His mission is making disciples all the time. So less chairs to pack, more people to have coffee with. That's what I'm saying. More little groups to form. Hey, let's go through the Word. Let's read through this book. Let's talk about what the Lord is doing in your hearts. What is the thing that the Lord is speaking to you about? Even this past few days, one or two questions that I had with people. What is the Lord doing in your heart? Good question. Because then you see what's inside. And then you can help them, point them into the right direction. That's called making disciples. It's not a big flashy word that's unattainable and it's only the work of the full-time guys. They'll die if they have to do all of this and it's only up to them. So help them by making disciples. I think that should be normal for every Christian. Saying yes to His mission. And so there's more. There's more. There's more for you. The Lord still wants to form His very image in you. There's sin to throw off in your life. It's a big word of sanctification. He's making you more like Him. But there's more of that in all of us. None of us are perfect. Some more than others. But none of us are perfect. There's more holiness to attain. There's more of Him shaping our hearts and our lives we need to give ourselves for. There's more growth within us. There's more moments of surrender. There's more moments of, even this morning, of being grateful and thankful. There's more. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. Be satisfied in your position in Jesus, in terms of your salvation, but in where you're at on this journey. We're still growing. And then I want to end with this. There's more for us as a church. Don't think too individualistic about it. Yes, there's more for you, and you know, the Lord has a calling for you and a gift for you, but there's more for us. There's more for us. This building is already full. But there's more for us. There's more people to invite to church. We can pack the chairs differently. We can break open that wall. And I know there's a lot of plans. There's more space. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more for each one of us. But there's more for all of us as one. There's more lost people to reach. Who are those in your workplace? Who are those in your family? Who are those that you know? It's just, man, they are not with the Lord. Are you inviting them? Are you praying for them? Just because it feels a bit fuller doesn't mean we are off the hook to invite people. I know some of the comms, the community groups might be on a bigger side and we want to plant more comms. And it's not going to just happen having Helmut and Leonard lead more comms. It's actually you might actually have to put up your hand and saying, I want to give myself to this process. I can look after 3 or 4 people. Let's do it. And it creates more space for people to come in because there's lost people to reach. Oh, man. I want to end with this. We cannot be complacent. Big word, eh? Big word for Afrikaans, guy. Complacent. I had to go and Google it. Complacent. What does it mean? This is what it means biblically. Listen to this. Complacency is defined as a dangerous, self-satisfied state of spiritual apathy, which is kind of lukewarmness in many ways. It's characterized by a false sense of security, a lack of vigilance, and a negligence of God's will. Should I read it again? Complacency is defined as a dangerous, self-satisfied state of spiritual apathy, characterized by a false sense of security, a lack of vigilance, a negligence of God's will. That is complacency. Who wants to be in that camp? None of us. Does it reflect in the way you live your life, that you're not complacent? And I'm trying to say it with a smile, just, you know, because I'm struggling with that at times as well. We want to be a people that are devoted to the very things of God. To Him first, but then to the ways and to His body. Devoted, like wholeheartedly. My whole life is centered around the very thing, the things of God. No complacency within us. That is the church I believe God is looking for. Every person who He has added to His body, actively involved in His body. No place for complacency. I don't know if that is a message to empty your church or to build your church. I don't know, but there's no place for complacency. I don't know how to say it any other way. We don't stumble into God's will. We walk in it intentionally and with intensity. You get what I'm saying? There's no complacency to just, oh, I just dropped into God's will. Oh, I just don't know how that happened. Yes, He is sovereign, but you need to stay in step with the Spirit. You need to obey Him to the very things that He's calling you and asking you for. If the Bible says don't do this, it means we don't do that. If the Bible says do this, we do that. That is how we live a life of obedience, staying in step with Him, and that is how you walk into God's will. Contentment, and I'll end with this. I probably said I'm ending already a few times. Contentment in Christ must never become complacency in mission. And I'm trusting, and I want to pray for us this morning, that there will be a hunger for the very thing of God. His heart is people. Buildings are great, but His heart is people. He's calling, He has given us a mission to go and reach this world. If there's an outreach, there should be a hunger in you. I want to go. I want to go. If there's an opportunity to do something in the kingdom, I want to do it. There's a hunger, a front-footedness, because we belong. Firstly, we are content in Him, but then we contribute with giving our lives for His mission. And we want to say yes to His mission. Amen. Can I pray for us? Just feel like the Lord, even in my heart, I'm starting to just getting hungry for the Lord even more. Just, oh, Lord, there is more. There is more for us. And so, Lord, you want to add something? Well, Gabby, maybe you can come up. Yeah. Lord, we just want to thank You this morning that You still have a dream and a desire and a hope for Your church. Lord, despite all the false and the fake and the brokenness out there, that there's still the real and the authentic. We thank You that You're coming back for Your bride. You're coming back for Your church. Lord, even this morning I pray that You'll stir such a hunger and a desire in us to be used by You, God. To know that we are secured in you. You've called us. You've bought us with a price. But then You have called us to work and to mission forward. And I pray that you'll stir such a hunger in us to be a part of your kingdom advancing, your church that's being built. Each one of us, even some of us that might feel disqualified, Lord, you have called each one of us to participate in what you have called us to do. Thank you, Lord.